a few years ago, as I was going through a difficult season, he told me to stand, just to stand, keep standing, stand therefore. It's in Ephesians chapter 6. And he said, stand therefore. Just keep standing. After you've been all to stand, stand therefore. And the Lord taught me in that season to stand, what it meant to stand in his strength and to stand in his might and to stand in his power for my own personal life. Because sometimes you need that strength and the might of God just to stand through the storms and the difficulties in your own life. But then what the Lord started to do, I can't share everything because I don't have time, but just to really give you a picture of what I'm going to share today and what the Lord's put on my spirit for you, is the Lord started to show me that the strength he gave me to stand superseded just for me to stand for my own personal needs and my own personal ability to stand and to walk in Christ. And he started to develop this tenacity in me for him. It was a strength and a might that he put within my spirit to stand for him and to stand for what he burned for, to stand for what was on his heart, to stand for what he was for, and to stand for what he was against. And there's a tenacity that developed in me through really difficult seasons where I just felt the spirit and the strengthening of the Lord. And I want to encourage you this morning, but I want to charge you this morning. There's a charge the Lord's given me in my spirit for you. That to stand therefore supersedes just standing for our own self. But to stand therefore in the might of God means that we stand for Christ, in Christ, and with Christ. 3 years ago, the Lord started to call me into a particular field of ministry and a particular realm of ministry that frightened me. It scared me because it was out of my comfort zone and I didn't want to tread down into that realm. I was quite comfortable doing street evangelism, sharing the gospel. I was quite comfortable going out into the highways and preaching the gospel and sharing Christ, sharing my testimony, talking to people about Jesus. I was quite comfortable with that. But one Sunday morning, the Lord spoke to me in a Sunday service during the worship. As today, you could feel the presence of God very strongly because I could feel the presence of God really strongly today. And the Lord started to speak to me in the worship on this particular Sunday. And he said, do you believe that I am who I say I am? Do you believe that I am the same Holy Spirit that I am in this building, that I'm with you outside of the building? And I said, yeah, of course I do. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to go to this particular place in London. I live in London. I'm from Manchester. As you can tell, my accent is a Mancunian accent. I got called to live in London 4 years ago. I didn't understand why the Lord was calling me to London. It didn't make sense. I didn't like London. Didn't want to live in London. I was quite comfortable living in the north, actually outside of the UK, but I wanted to stay in the north of England. But the Lord started to call me to London. It didn't make sense to me, but then it started to make sense because the Lord calls us to make that step like he did with Abraham. He said, go to the place that I will show you. Go to that place. Take that step. You don't know where you're going, but take that step and I will show you and I will reveal to you where I'm calling you. So I took that step. I moved to London. The Lord started to call me to go to the Muslim areas in London. We have probably the bit, after Birmingham, including Birmingham and Leicester, we have probably one of the biggest Muslim communities in the UK. We have an area in London called Tower Hamlets, which is predominantly Muslim. It's actually 40% Muslim. It's got the highest percentage of Muslims in one area across the UK. The Lord started to call me to go to these places to share the gospel. And I didn't feel equipped. I didn't feel able. I didn't feel confident. And what started to happen, the Lord started to put his might in my spirit to stand for him and to stand. And we would face all sorts of incidents happen. We've been assaulted, we've been attacked, we've been threatened. I've received death threats in these places. But what happens when you receive persecution for the Lord, the spirit of Jesus, the spirit of Christ and of God, the spirit of grace rests upon you. And he empowers you to continue to stand. And so the Lord developed this this might within me that people will call boldness. But it's not a boldness in my own ability, but it's a might from the Spirit of God. And it came through a process of the Lord just igniting me with his burning heart, not just for the lost, for those that are going to hell, for those that are on their way to a lost eternity. But he started to put this fire inside of me. It was the spirit of burning that the Lord started to put within me. He started to cleanse away fear. He started to cleanse away intimidation. He started to cleanse away people's opinions, what they thought. He started to burn away and cleanse away political correctness, fear of man, people's opinions. And he started to instill within me a might to stand for him and to only care about his opinion and what he thinks and what he wants. And this is what he needs from his people in this time. I believe the Lord is raising up a people who are not only people that stand for him, but people that burn for him. They burn for him with an inward burning that translates into an outward expression of fire. There's an inward flame that burns in our hearts for him, an inward flame for Jesus that is expressed through an outward fire that blazes, and that people witness and they see that fire that burns and blazes through our lives. That's what the Lord is after through us and in our lives. So this is what the Lord started to do. I'm a full-time minister for the gospel. I work full-time for Jesus. I do full-time evangelism / prophetic activism. And so the Lord started to call me into these assignments that he would send me and our team. And it wasn't just me, there's loads of us that do this. But the Lord started to give me assignments to go and to confront darkness, to confront the powers in this land of darkness. We're living in dark times. The nation is in dark times. We just have to look, just watch the news to see the darkness that we're living in this time. You just look at what is happening, what decisions they're making in Parliament for the nation. This is dark times that we're living in. And the decisions that are being made are anti-Christ. Do you know what I mean by that? Yeah. When I say they're anti-Christ, they're against Christ. They're against the people of Christ. They're against the people of God. And look at the decisions that are being made. The full-term abortion bill that was passed recently in Parliament. You saw that, yeah? The assisted dying bill that was passed recently. This is a spirit of death that has been ushered in from our government. We're seeing our King Charles, the decisions that he's making, the things that he is exalting, the religion of Islam that he is exalting, that he's putting above Christianity, he's putting above Christ, he's supposed to be the defender of the faith, but he's actually promoting a religion that is against Christ, that hates Christ, a religion that denies the very cross, the very blood, the very crucifixion of Jesus, that we as Christians, we know is the only way that people can be saved, and he's exalting a religion that denies that cross. We just look at the decisions that are being made. We look at, I look at Birmingham, I look at Leicester, I look at London, and there is an infiltration of Islam in our nation. Is this making sense? Am I on the same page with you? I felt like I could share this with you. This is what we're seeing in our nation, and it's going to take a people to stand in the might of God, to stand in the Spirit of God. But it's going to take a people that burn for Jesus, Because unless we really truly burn inwardly, then we won't be able to stand. We'll back down in fear. We'll back down in intimidation. We'll back down in political correctness. We'll back down when we're faced with dangers, when we're faced with opposition. We will. We have to have the Spirit of God that truly burns and ignites us to be able to stand. Isaiah chapter 6, let me read to you Isaiah chapter 6. This is an encounter that Isaiah had with the Spirit of burning, I believe. This is an encounter that he had with the Spirit of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 6. And it says this, that it's verse 6 to 8. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand. And that live coal was a red hot, actively burning piece of coal from the fire, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched Isaiah's mouth and touched his lips. And what he did to Isaiah was he cleansed his sin. He said that his guilt and his sin was cleansed. That's what the fire does. The fire cleanses us inwardly first. The fire burns away dross. It burns away chaff. It burns away anything that is compromising our lives. It burns away fear. It burns away people pleasing. It burns away that desire to want to be accepted and received by people. And it completely strips us of that desire to be man's servants and sets us apart as God's servants, as bond servants. And this is what the Lord's fire does. It sets the person apart. The fire of God, the Spirit of burning, I like to call it. It's in the Bible. It's in Isaiah 4. But the Spirit of burning sets a people apart for God. And I believe the Lord wants a people that are set apart for him. By his fire, it takes the fire of God to set a people apart, to cleanse, but then to ignite something in them that puts in them a righteous indignation and anger against the things that are antichrist that we're seeing. Have you ever felt angry? Yeah? It's not bad to be angry, just to let you know. Jesus got angry, as you're going to hear shortly. Jesus got angry about things that were happening that were against his father, that were against his father's house. He got angry at the self-righteousness. He got angry at sin. He got angry at people doing things that were against God's desire and God's heart for the house of God. He even says that Jesus was consumed with anger. Yeah? The Spirit of God puts that within us. And this is what I believe the Lord is producing in his people in this time, in this nation. I believe he's producing a people who have carry an internal holy indignation. A holy indignation. That when you have that holy indignation, holy anger, you will go to places, you will do things, you will confront sin. And you will confront darkness, and you will confront antichrist agendas, and you will confront the devil, and you will confront spiritual powers, and you will confront principalities, and you will confront demonic spirits like you have authority over them, because you do. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, that God has given us authority over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians that we have been given weapons of warfare that are not carnal. They're not like how the world fights, but they're weapons of spiritual power that we've been given to pull down strongholds, to tear down high things, to pull down vain imaginations, and to pull down lofty opinions and everything, anything that exalts itself above the knowledge of Christ. This is what the Spirit of God produces in us, that holy indignation to stand as God's people and to confront. Christians are called to be confrontational. I've heard many years, I've been a Christian 10 years. I came to the Lord 10 years ago, had an encounter with Jesus after leaving Islam. I was in Islam for 4 years. I got married. My ex-husband is Muslim. And they were training me to be a da'i, which is an Islamic evangelist. So I was reading the Quran, and I was studying the Quran, and I was learning the Quran, and I was talking to Christians about how they were wrong and they needed to become Muslim. I was talking to Christians about how their Bible had been changed, that Muhammad was a prophet, that they believe in the wrong thing and they needed to become Muslim. I was zealous for Islam at one point. But what the Lord started to do when I got saved, he put that same zeal in me for him. He put that same zeal in me for him. And the Lord is producing that within us, this holy indignation, this righteous anger for the things that oppose Jesus, for the things that oppose Jesus. We've got to be ones that are radical in this time in our nation. We've got to be radical, set on fire by the Spirit of God, not by hype, not by excitement, but by the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God gets a hold of you, you are set. There's something that is ignited within you that doesn't back down to fear. You feel invincible. You feel like you walk like you've got authority. You feel like you've got authority. You speak like you've got authority. You confront the enemy like you've got authority. When you know your authority in Christ and you're full of the Spirit of God, demons flee. They run from you. You know, when I go up to Muslims on the street and I ask them questions, they run from me. I have dawahs. I mean, Islamic scholars running from me. It never used to be like that. They used to try and bully me, actually. Now they run. I'm telling you, they run. They say, I don't want to speak to you. They run away from debates because they know that the spirit by which I'm speaking is a different spirit. I'm speaking by a different spirit, and they know it. And I'm not arguing and debating, but I'm coming to you with a higher authority. You walk different. You speak different. Demons submit. They tremble. And this is the kind of people that the Lord is raising up here with you guys, are people that walk and live and stand in authority, in the authority of God, that cause the spirits, the powers, let's just say the powers in operation in Hurst Green, the powers in operation in Birmingham, to be driven out, as a higher authority comes into, as we cause the kingdom to be established, as we cause the kingdom to be established, and we drive out the enemy. Who wants to drive out the enemy in Hurst Green? I want to see the enemy driven out in Hurst Green. That's what I want to see, the enemy driven out in the UK, in the United Kingdom. So this is it. This is it. This is what the Lord wants to produce. And it comes through the fire of God, the Holy Spirit. When Peter, we know what Peter did when Jesus was being arrested. He was afraid, so he denied knowing Christ. Yeah. But what happened when Peter got the Holy Spirit on the inside of him? He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He encountered God in the upper room. And when Peter was in that upper room, the Spirit of God ignited him on the inside. And he didn't need anyone to tell him to preach. He didn't need anyone to tell him to witness of Christ. It was the overflow of what was going on in the inside. He got baptized in the fire of God. And what happened? He left that upper room where he had encountered God. And it said, Peter opened, that same Peter that was terrified and afraid, that same Peter that was that denied Christ because he was afraid of the dangers and the potential consequences, that same Peter left that room and opened his mouth and he preached despite the consequences, despite what would happen. And this is what I see of a people that were consumed with the spirit of fire, the spirit of God. They were a people that the enemy was afraid of. They were a people that would cause the enemy to flee. There were a people that were unmatched, unable to be contended with, because you cannot contend with the Spirit of God. You cannot contend with God. And you are God's representatives, God's emissaries, God's ambassadors. If you are saved, if you're reconciled to Jesus, you are called as an ambassador of Christ. That's what the Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that You are God's ambassadors, ambassadors of Christ. And it says that if you're an ambassador of Christ, that God is pleading through you to people. God is pleading with you to Hurst Green, to be reconciled to him. There's a pleading that takes place. And again, it's the Spirit of God. It's different. It's not like you're trying to beg people to come to Jesus. But there's something on the inside of you that's pleading through you. There's an urgency. There's a compassion. The Spirit of God is pleading through you to people to get right with God. And this is a work of the Spirit on the inside. We've got to be gripped by the Spirit. We've got to be possessed by the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Because when you're possessed by God's Spirit, it produces a holy anger. Anger against the devil that is binding people in addiction. Anger against the devil that is persecuting Christians and exalting ideologies that are not of God. There's an anger on the inside that is produced, and it's from the Spirit of the Lord. And we've got to allow him to do that work in us. We've got to allow him to consume us, to burn away fear, to burn away what people think about us, to burn away what their opinions are, to just let it all burn away and be consumed with him, with his will and his desire and his heart. And what we start to do then is we start to burn in our heart. There's a burning in our heart. I remember the disciples on the road to Emmaus when they said that when Jesus spoke to them, their hearts burned within them. Their hearts burned. They could feel this fire, this flame. There was a flame that was lit as Jesus caused that flame to light within them. He caused that flame to light. And as a result, those that were, as the flame was lit internally, they went out and were witnesses to the ends of the earth. They went out and preached Jesus. They preached the cross. They preached Christ to the ends of the earth. And this is it. The Spirit of God wants to burn away the dross, anything, the weights, those things that hold us back from him, those things that cause us to be complacent and apathetic, and burn it away so that we can be fully consecrated, set apart, and bond slaves. You know, Apostle Paul and the disciples, if you read Book of Romans, read the New Testament books, you'll see that they each describe themselves as bond slaves of Christ, bond servants of Christ, completely given over to Christ. And what that meant was that no matter what happened, no matter what took place, no matter what came against them, no matter what persecution came their way, no matter what people said, even if it cost them their life, they would still stand for Christ. This is it. The Spirit of God within you is not just so that we could just get through our lives as Christians and we could just make it to the next Sunday. We can just make it through the week. The Spirit of God isn't in us just to survive. But if we knew what the Spirit of God, that same Spirit that is within us, is the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. This is a spirit of power. A spirit of might. It's a spirit that can perform miracles. It's a spirit that causes the enemy to be subdued. It's a spirit that causes opposing spirits to come under your feet. That is the Spirit that you carry inside of you. That is the Spirit that is in you. That is the Spirit that needs to be stirred up. That is the Spirit that needs to be awakened. And I feel just so strongly the Lord just wants to awaken a warrior bride, a warrior, Christian. Christ, we hear a lot about the nice Jesus who did not, the kind, meek, and mild Jesus. I hear about him, heard about that Jesus all the time, and I'm glad I received that Jesus, and I'm glad that Jesus is meek and mild and loving and caring and kind. But there's also a side of Jesus that is a warrior. He is a fighter. He's angry. And there's some things that are operating. He's angry over how the enemy is oppressing some of you in this room. How he's oppressing you. He's oppressing your life, holding you back so that you just keep going to the next moment, the next week. Let me just get by. The Lord, there's a spirit of breakthrough the Lord wants to release over you today. That you can be fully, you can fully break through, break, complete breakthrough. You know, 2018, I was saved, but I wasn't free. 2019, I was saved, I wasn't free. 2020, I was saved, I wasn't free. I got free in 2020. In March 2020, the Lord set me free. Do you know how he set me free? By putting me in a lockdown. That's how he set me free. Because I was struggling with things. And I was struggling at the time. I've been dealing with this my whole life. But I come to a point in 2020 where I just said, right, I'm giving up. I'm going to go. Because I was attracted to women. So I was about to go into a relationship with a woman. And I was going to go to an affirming church, a church that said I was okay to be a gay Christian. That's what I was about to do. And, you know, praise God, because I would have been one of those affirming Christians that said it's okay to be gay. But Jesus stepped in. As I was sat in my car, he said to me, I'm not in these places. Choose me. Keep choosing me and I'll set you free. The Lord set me free and delivered me. He set me free. There's a freedom in Christ that when you experience that freedom, he'll make you an ambassador for that very thing. The Lord, or whatever it is that the Lord sets you free and delivers you from, it's like he gives you a sharp sword to use against the enemy. So whether it's addiction, he gives you a sharp sword to use against the enemy. You have an authority over it that other people don't, because you've not been delivered. If you've been delivered from addiction or mental health or oppression or torment, you have a sword against the enemy in that area, whatever it is you've been delivered from. You've been delivered from false religion. You have an authority against that. If you've been delivered from same-sex attraction, homosexuality, you have a sword. And many Christians, their swords are just left on the shelf, dusty. They don't know who they are. They don't know their identity in Christ. The Bible says that those who know their God will be strong, will be mighty and do great exploits. And this is what we're called to. Great exploits in Christ. Great exploits in Christ are people who are of a different spirit, a different operating, living, recognized by a different spirit that is within us. Not the spirit of the age, not the spirit of the world, not the spirit that just is always nice to everyone and never challenges things that are not right. This is who Jesus is. Yes, he's kind. Yes, he's compassionate. But he also stands against sin and unrighteousness and the things that oppose the truth. Right now, I believe Jesus is angry over what King Charles is doing. You are familiar with what King Charles is doing. Am I talking like a foreign language to you? What he's, the decisions he's making, he's promoting Islam and subduing Christianity in this nation. That is what he's been doing for the last few years. I believe Jesus is angry over that. He's angry over that. I believe Jesus is angry over the affirming church, the church that says it's okay to be homosexual. Come on, we'll just marry you. The Lord is angry over those things. He is. And the Lord is looking for a people who will share his burden and his heart in those areas. There's a few people that come to mind in Scripture. The first one is Joshua and Caleb. What happened is the spies went out to spy out the land, to see what was going on in the land. And they saw all the dangers, all the potential risks that could happen if they went in to possess the land. And then what happened then, Joshua and Caleb saw something different. When the other spies saw the dangers, the risks, they saw, you know, what could happen to them in a negative sense. The Joshua and Caleb saw through God's eyes. They saw through God's victory. They saw through God's triumph, through God's ability to overcome, through God's breakthrough. They saw things differently. They had a different lens because they were of a different spirit. They had a different spirit within them, and they saw things differently. They didn't see things like the world. They didn't see things through a defeatist mentality. Oh, gosh, look how bad things are. Oh, gosh, look how, look what is happening in our nation. Look at all the darkness being infiltrated in our nation. They saw it through the eyes of God and the ability of God to bring victory. But the thing is oftentimes we can pray for God to bring victory, but God is waiting for a people to rise up, to bring his victory. An ambassador, a representative, a mouthpiece. This is what God is waiting for. Because he's always used a mouthpiece. He's always used people. When Moses was crying out to God, when he came to the Red Sea, he was crying out to God, and God said to him, "Why are you crying out to me? You go. You lead the people. You go forth." And often we can be crying out to God. We can be praying, and it's nothing wrong with praying. I love to pray. I love interceding. But sometimes it's an excuse to not stand and to not go forth and to not charge forth. The Lord has called us to be a confrontational people, a people who oppose and confront the powers of darkness. Is this making sense to you? I hope so. When I say that, I mean we stand, we oppose, we stand, and we stand for Christ. We stand in Christ with him. And as the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against the enemy through our lives, through our very lives, that we would be ones that speak for God. John 3:36 says that those who are sent by God speak the words of God, for God does not give his Spirit by measure. You're an ambassador of Christ speaking on behalf of God. And in Thessalonians, it says that we don't speak as people who are flattering other people. We don't speak as ones that flatter men, but we speak as ones that have been entrusted by God to speak the very words of God. This is it. And this can only happen when you've got that. You've been ignited by the Spirit of God to stand and to speak truth. And to, you know, there's been situations in my life where I've been in situations. One of these times I was in my workplace, and I used to work as a child protection social worker. That's what I did for a long time. And in that office, I had people there that, you know, they were totally different to me as a Christian when I got saved. Their views were completely different to mine. And I was just learning about what it meant to be a Christian and what did I believe as a Christian. And I remember sat there, and in the office they were having this conversation about abortion. And they were all justifying that it's okay for full-term abortion. If a woman wants a full-term abortion, then it's okay. If a woman wants an abortion at 6 months, it's fine. And I sat there, and in my spirit, I remember feeling, I can't speak. I just can't say anything. I can't oppose their opinion. There was this fear that tried to creep in. And I listened for ages as they're talking, and all of a sudden, I could feel this bubbling up within me. Yeah. It was a bubbling up from here. And I just opened my mouth, couldn't keep it quiet. I opened my mouth and I just blurted out in the office, abortion is murder. Abortion is murder. And it just came out. And then I started to then share about how I gave my reasons for why I said that. But in the moment, I remember thinking, I could lose my job here. But there's something beautiful that happens when you are God's bond servant. That you're his voice, you're his mouthpiece, and you've surrendered to be possessed by the Spirit to use you in whatever circumstance. And he will send you to places that don't seem even like it's okay to go to these places. Like he sent me to the front of Parliament with a group of people. He sent me when they told us we couldn't pray outside abortion clinics. We're not allowed. We can be going to prison for it. 200 of us stood outside of an abortion clinic, and we all prayed. We all prayed. And the police came and they tried to stop us. And we said, we're not stopping. We are praying. You arrest all 200 of us. We're not going to stop, because something happens when the righteous, holy indignation of God through his Spirit, through his fire, gets on the inside of you. You don't care about the consequences. The consequences don't matter anymore. You know, you'll act before you think about the consequence. Okay, I could get killed here. Somebody could kill me for saying what I'm saying. But I'm going to say it anyway. There's things I've had to say in Muslim environments where it's a miracle I'm still alive. What I've had to say to people when they've asked me, why don't you believe in Muhammad as a prophet? I'll tell you why I don't believe Muhammad as a prophet, because I don't believe prophets are pedophiles. I don't believe prophets marry six-year-olds. I don't believe prophets are attracted to children. I don't believe prophets do that. And I'm like, wow, how am I not dead? But this is what it means to confront darkness. Yeah? You know, it's not always nice. Apostle Paul would say things to people where he would, it's like, wow, that is not, doesn't sound loving. It doesn't sound nice. But there's a time to pull down those strongholds, the lofty opinions, the lies that are over people's minds, in order for them to be able to receive the truth. This is it. This is it right here. And you know what I look at? Throughout Scripture, I look at people that I'm inspired by in Scripture. I look at the prophet Micaiah, who is quite an unknown prophet. Does anyone know who Prophet Micaiah is? He's one of my favorite prophets, even though there's only a paragraph of him or maybe just one chapter of him in the Bible. But what Micaiah did, Micaiah was, the king tried to intimidate him and make him say prophecies that were nice, prophecies that made him feel good, prophecies that exalted him and made him feel puffed up and happy and good about his life. But Micaiah said, I will only speak what the Lord calls me to speak to you. Whereas all the other prophets were telling the king nice things, positive things, all good things about his life, about his future, about what God was going to do. Micaiah came and spoke truth, and it wasn't what the king wanted to hear. But Micaiah had an internal resolution, a steadfastness, a firmness, a fixedness, that no matter what, he was going to only speak what the Lord sent him to speak. And they're the kind of people that the Lord can trust. They're the kind of people he wants in you. Each one of you is a people who he can trust to speak what he is saying, to be his mouthpiece, his orator, his oracle, his ambassador, his emissary, to go before kings, queens, to go before leaders, to go before your boss, whatever it is he's calling you to, whoever it is he's calling you to go before, and say, no, this is not. I'm not standing for this. I'm not accepting this. This is against the will of God. The Lord wants us to be witnesses of him in every sphere of society. He wants us to be righteous witnesses, witnesses that stand in his righteousness, in his truth, and refuse to back down, refuse to be deterred, refuse to be shaken, refuse to be moved, refuse to change our mind. This is our mind. This is our opinion. This is how it is, and it does not change. This kind of people, Micaiah would not change his message to flatter the king. Micaiah would not change what God was saying it might not sound nice to the king, so I'm going to change. He just came out as it came out. There's a man, an inspiration. I actually went to his house a few weeks ago in Edinburgh. His name's John Knox. Who's heard of him? Okay, John Knox was an amazing guy. He had a conviction, and this man tormented Mary, Queen of Scots, the Queen at the time. He tormented her, and the reason he tormented her was because she was terrified of John Knox. And Mary, the Queen at that time, said that the prayers of John Knox, she was more afraid of the prayers of John Knox than for the whole of Scotland's armies. Because the prayers of John Knox shook her. Because John Knox, God was opposing Mary, Queen of Scots, because of some of the practices that she was doing in her life, some of the things she was condoning, and she was leading the nation into, you know, away from God. But John Knox stood in the righteousness of Christ, and it said he went before Mary, Queen of Scots, several times. He went to the palace and he confronted her, and he stood before her and he confronted her on her sin and on her leading a nation away from God. And Mary, Queen of, and this is what was said about John Knox, that he wouldn't cower or be intimidated or look nervous in front of Mary, Queen of Scots, but he stood there with an authority that almost made it seem like he had more authority than the Queen. Well, he did, because he was standing in the authority of the King of Kings, who was above the Queen of that time, and above any royal figure in the nation even now. But it was described, his voice, when he would speak to her, it was described that his voice carried more, it caused the person to shake like to be trembling inside more than if a trumpet was to be blown through their ear. That was what John Knox was able to do in the life of Mary, Queen of Scots. He caused her to shake and to tremble because the authority he stood in, the might he stood in, the Spirit of God sent him to confront. He sent him to confront the enemy using her, to confront the darkness through which she was operating in. And I see this throughout scripture. I see it. You see David. David is one of my inspirations in life. I see how he was the only one that was not afraid of Goliath. Everybody else cowered away. They hid away. They wouldn't confront Goliath. Goliath had free rein. He roamed around. He intimidated. He breathed threats. People weren't living their normal life. They wouldn't even go on the roads, on the highways, on the roads, or the pavements, because Goliath was breathing threats. And everyone cowered away and hid away apart from David. David had a different spirit. David knew who his God was. David knew who he was in God. He knew his identity in God. And he was able to confront what everyone else was afraid of. This is the kind of people the Lord wants in you, in us in this time. People of a different spirit. People of a Micaiah-like spirit. People of a David-like spirit. People of an Esther and a Deborah-like spirit. You look at Deborah, she rose up in the midst of another time when people were cowering away and terrified and afraid. They wouldn't go on the highways or the byways. They were afraid for about 10 or 11 years. They hid away and they let Jabin and his army just free reign because they wouldn't confront what was happening. But God raised up Deborah. He raised up David and he raised up Esther. And he raised up Micaiah, and he raises up people throughout history. He raised up John Knox. He raised up John Wesley. He raised up William Booth. And all these people were raised up in the time when it was the darkest time in that nation. It was the darkest time that it was such darkness that had like not been seen before. Yet God raised up voices who would confront the darkness, who would stand in the light, in the righteousness of God, and would confront. God always raises up a people to confront darkness. And this is what I believe he's doing in this time. You just look. I know there's a politician that's running for local council or mayor in Birmingham who's an ex-Islamic terrorist. He's known for being, what's his name? Shahid Butt, that's it. I mean, how can we let this happen? We've got to be a people that say, not on our watch. We've got to be a people that decree a new thing. You know, we have the power in our mouths to make decrees, new decrees, decrees that are higher than any decree or decision that's been made in Parliament, decrees that are higher than any decision or profession that's been made by our Prime Minister, our King. Our decree is higher. Because our decree is signed in the signet ring of the King of Kings. So when we decree a thing, it's established. And when we speak a different decree, a higher decree, that overrides the decree that is in place. So you see the spirit of Islam sweeping through our nation. And we decree, no, Christ is King over the spirit of Islam. You see these wicked leaders that are practicing wickedness and exalting murder, exalting wickedness and evil from the high places. We decree a new decree. We decree that Christ is above that, and we pull it down in the spirit realm. We've got to rise up as people. Let me read this scripture to you. It's John chapter 2. It's in John chapter 2, and it's verse 17. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. John 2:17. If you look, this is where Jesus was angry at the money changers, and it said that he was so angry at what was happening in the temple because that was not what the temple's purpose was for. The temple wasn't designed for them to be selling and making money. It angered Jesus greatly. Okay, it said that he was filled with zeal. That zeal is speaking about an anger. He was angry. Okay, and he created a whip of cords, and he turned the tables over. It's like Jesus coming in so angry, getting this and flipping it. It's very heavy, but getting this and flipping it over. he created a whip of cords and then he chased everyone out. Get out, get out. That's that different image of Jesus to what I think people believe about Jesus. He's not always like that. Not all the time. He's compassionate, loving and kind, as we know through scripture. But there's times that he is like that against certain things. That is Jesus. And to be Christ-like on occasions is to be like that, actually. I'm not saying to go and get a whip and beat people. But what I'm saying is internally there is a stirring and an indignation that is lit within our hearts. It says this zeal for your house has eaten me up. Zeal for your house has eaten me up. When was the last time you were ate up by the sin that you see around you? When was the last time you were ate up by the high streets being filled with people worshipping gods that are not Jesus? When was the last time you were filled with zeal for the Lord, for people to come to Jesus, to come out of lies and idolatry and bondage and brokenness and addiction and pain and being trapped? When was the last time you were burned with that anger, not at the person, but at what's happening in their life, that causes you to be so stirred and ignited against that, that you cannot but speak the truth to them. You cannot but say, sometimes I see people and they've been trapped in addiction for so many years and I've spoke to them so many times and I just look at them and I say, it's time, you've got to make a decision. You've got to choose. Choose today who you're going to serve. Choose today who you're going to follow. Choose today. It's your choice. Choose freedom today. Choose to break out of those chains today. Choose to follow Jesus today. Choose to walk in the power of God today. Yeah? Jesus was full of zeal and passion for the things that he saw that were opposing the truth, that were against what he came and what he stood for. And this is what he wants from us as his people, to burn for him with that internal fire, to be cleansed, to be washed, to be purified, and to be set ablaze in our hearts, burning ones whose hearts are ablaze, that will then burn outwardly, that will stand and speak truth, even when it costs us, when it costs you everything. And look at the disciples, it cost Stephen his life. They cost the disciples their life, but they still stood for Jesus. We've got to love not our lives even unto death. We've got to love not our lives even when everybody forsakes us and rejects us. We've got to love not our lives. We've got to love not our lives. Do you love not your life unto death? Is your life lived for Christ? The scripture says to live is Christ, to die is gain. Is that something that resonates in you? To live is Christ, to die is gain. Lord, use me. Do you ever have that cry in your heart? Lord, use me. I don't know what causes you to burn with righteous indignation. I know what causes me to burn with righteous indignation. I know what I am called to stand for. I know I'm called to stand for Christ, but I know specifically what I'm called to stand for. And we're all called to stand for something for Christ. We're all called to. We're called to be ones that stand in his power and oppose the darkness. You know, we know that eventually, we know about the end times. We know the darkness is going to infiltrate the land. But as people right now, we can push it back. We can push back the darkness as we raise a standard of Christ in our own personal lives, in the lives of those around us, in our workplaces and in our nation. We've got to stand as in the might of God. And so just as I want to pray for you, but just as I want to take this time, ask the Lord, what is it? What is it that you want me to burn for? Obviously Jesus, obviously the lost, obviously people coming to Christ. But what is it? What is it that he wants you to get that indignation about inside of you, where you are that you become that voice. There's an overflow of that indignation, holy, righteous anger in you, that you become that voice of truth. And nothing, you know, there's nothing. When there's that overflow from that place, the Spirit of God stirring that indignation in you, there is nothing that can stop you. No threats, no violence, no intimidation, no fear, no one telling you to be politically correct, no one telling you, oh, you can't say that. It just comes with force, because no one can, who can contend with the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God in you comes out like a force and contends against darkness. And this is what we're told to do in the book of Jude, to contend for the faith. We've got to contend for the faith that was handed down to us. Contending for the truth, contending for Jesus, contending for Christ, contending for our freedom. Some of us have got to contend for our own freedom. Some of us have got to contend for our own salvation. Some of us have got to contend for our own walk with Jesus, because the enemy's coming in so fierce. He's trying to pull us away from Christ. Something, God wants us to contend for him in some area. And it has to, yes, start with our own lives, contending for our own walk with Jesus. But then it moves away from that, and it becomes bigger. It becomes a bigger assignment to contend for Jesus and contend what he stands for. And so just right now, just in this time, just close your eyes. Ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that you're calling me to contend and stand for? What is it that you want me to burn for? What is it that you're trying to light in my heart to be righteously angry about? What is it? What fire do you want to light within me? Just ask the Lord, because there's something that he wants to put within you today. There's a deposit of something he wants to put within you. Yes, thank you, Lord. Ask the Lord, Lord, put a fire in me. Put it in me. The Lord deposited about 3 years ago this fire. I just said, Lord, I've had enough. I've had enough. And I started to get angry at fear. I started to get angry at the things that were holding me back. And a fire was released for me to just be launched into what the Lord was calling me to do. And then nothing can hold you back. There's nothing that can hold you back when that fire just starts to ignite within you. Lord, I pray that you would raise up people in this area, Lord. Raise up, Lord. Show them what is going on in the nation. Show them what is going on in this area of Hurst Green, Lord God. I pray that you would drop your burdens upon their hearts, Lord. Drop your burdens upon their spirit, Lord. I pray that you would grip each one in this room, Lord, with a burden, that they would be burden carriers, that they would be carriers of burdens bigger than their own burdens, but they would be carriers of burdens for this area of Hurst Green, of Birmingham, of the nation. Lord God, I pray that you would impart intercessory burdens for the nation upon each heart, Lord, that you would awaken a burden in them. That you would stir, even now, Lord, even now, just put your hand on your belly or your heart and just say, Lord, stir up a burden for you, Lord. Lord, place a burden on my heart. Lord, place your burdens upon my heart for this area. And just wait as the Lord drops that burden upon you. Just receive that burden. Some of you have already got these burdens. You're seeing what's going on. You're broken by what you're seeing around you. You're carrying this burden for the area of Hurst Green, for the lost. You're carrying, even some of you, a burden for the nation. You're carrying a burden, some of you, even for the church. So just let the Lord just stir up that right now. when you start to feel that bubbling up within you, just ask the Lord, say, Lord, make me a voice. Come on, say it, make me a voice. Make me a voice of righteousness. Make me, come on, I feel the Spirit on this. Make me a voice. Make me a voice of truth. Make me a voice of righteousness. Make me an ambassador for you. Make me a mouthpiece. Make me one that speaks your words, even when I don't feel like it. Put your words in my mouth. Put your words in my mouth, Lord. Put your words in my mouth. Pray this if you want, if you dare to pray this. Say, Lord, possess me. Holy Spirit, possess me. Holy Spirit, possess me. Possess my inner man. Possess my body. Possess my life. Possess my soul. Possess my spirit. Make me a bond servant of you. Make me a bond servant of you, Lord. We want to be bond servants of you, Lord. We want to be bond slaves of you. We want to be moved by you. We want to be led by you. We want to be dictated to by you. We want to go where you want us to go. We want to say what you want us to say. Lord, we just commit right now. Lord, we commit our lives to you, Lord. We commit our mouths to you, Lord. We commit our bodies to you, Lord God, and we present ourselves, our lives, as living sacrifices to you, Lord, holy, pleasing, acceptable to you. Lord, we present ourselves to you, Lord. Possess us. Possess us, Lord. Possess us, Holy Spirit. Possess us, Lord God. Make us burning ones for you, Lord. Ones that glow like Moses glowed for you, Lord God. Ones that blaze like Paul blazed for you, Lord. Ones that speak the very words of God like Jeremiah spoke. Lord, put your word in our spirits. Put your word in our spirits, Lord. Like Jeremiah, the word within us would be shut up like a fire that cannot be contained. That the word within each